trying to get Israel not to escalate the war. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Mediators from Egypt and Qatar say they are working on a new plan to get all the hostages dead and alive freed in exchange for a withdrawal of Israeli forces. Vice President Vance just said at a meeting with Britain's foreign minister in England,
"We want to make it so that Hamas can't attack innocent people. We want to solve humanitarian problems in Gaza. We're working incredibly hard, the president and the entire team, to make sure that happens."
Now, the plan Israel's security cabinet approved is to take over Gaza City. There is some pushback in Israel, worried
the hostages, especially the 20 still living, will be in the direct line of fire in the war zone, and their lives, according to activists, will be in jeopardy. And this will all happen as Israel deals with a mammoth humanitarian problem. The U.S. and Israeli-backed aid units are barely keeping up with needs. More are planned.
That's Fox's Greg Palka. Today's the deadline President Trump set for Russian leader Vladimir Putin to work out a ceasefire in Ukraine or face economic sanctions as negotiations continue for a possible Trump-Putin meeting in person next week. That's another deadline today for dozens of Democratic Texas lawmakers who left the state.
Get them back to the state of Texas. Hold them in contempt, and if they refuse to come, hopefully put them in jail.
Attorney General Ken Paxton also tells Fox Democrats may be removed from office. Now, they say they've broken no laws, blocking a vote on a congressional redistricting plan. The Justice Department's investigating New York Attorney General Letitia James, a Democrat.
Because she took then-former President Donald Trump to court, quote, simply because she didn't like him and campaigned on getting him. DOJ believes she violated his First Amendment rights dealing with free speech. James has said before she believed Trump inflated his net worth to get good deals on loans.
Fox's David Spun. James won that civil fraud case the Trump organization's appealing. Six people in Cincinnati have been indicted on assault and rioting charges for a severe beating in a street brawl last month caught on video that went viral on social media. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're a different kind of wireless company dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Because let's face it, our needs are different. Big wireless unlimited plans are designed for 20-somethings, not us. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on one thing, bringing you affordable, reliable rate plans that suit your needs, not ours. How do we do that? We start by using the same towers as the big guys, the exact same towers. We then create rate plans designed for your usage. The fact is, we can offer you an unlimited plan with the same network quality for less because we understand how you use wireless services. Our plans start at just $20 a month. And forget trying to chat with robots. You'll get 100% U.S.-based award-winning customer service when you need help. Come find out how wireless should be and join the millions who've made the switch.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Good morning and a very happy Friday to you. From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Scott Gross. A popular restaurant in the foothills is staying open after months of uncertainty. Fat Daddy's is granted a special use permit, letting them keep their doors open for the next 15 years. However, the permit does come with some rules, such as building brick walls around the facility, as well as live music ending at 7 o'clock at night. Now, despite the rule changes, the owner's son is happy he can continue his father's legacy.
I think you'd be happy. You'd be smiling down our first year without him, but you'd be stoked.
And for the first time ever, the Somerton Municipal Court has its own official seal, and it was designed by Somerton High School junior Nailia Lopez Fimbres. The design includes rays and a star from the Arizona flag, green for the city's agricultural roots, an olive branch for peace, and scales for justice. I'm Scott Gross.
While not quite as hot as the past couple of days, we're still locked into a sunny, hot August period of weather. 110 for the high today, 84 overnight tonight, partly cloudy today. Sunny and 108 on Saturday, sunny and 110 on Sunday.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, good.
Oh man,
hey, you
right.
Do it. It's not
hey,
my show.
You,
come
oh,
on,
right
now go. You, I want to hear you do place. It. Come on, Russ. You go.
AM 560 KBLU. I'm here with Derek Egebert, and we're talking money talk. I guess is it money talk or is
well,
it?
It's money and mortgage and credit
money and mortgage and all that.
But I mean, you. kind of like the show anyway. So is something else you want to talk about for crying out loud?
Oh, no. I got it all covered.
No, you didn't. You still got like an inch and a half stack of paper over there.
I do every day. I have more than I can get to.
I think when you and Greg are talking, all of a sudden you don't get through half the stuff you were.
That's probably true because Greg has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. And so I'd become a listener.
Okay. So good takeaways. What have you seen this week in the market? What have you seen on the news? What do we need to talk about from a consumer's perspective? Because I've got some stuff.
But... Well, you know, I keep hearing that, you know, particularly politically, people are saying that the food prices are raising rapidly and other prices are raising, and the numbers don't show. It's like 2.6%. You know, so I don't really know what that's all about. But I've had anecdotally some people text me and says, well, then you haven't been buying beef, which I do, but I haven't noticed it.
So I don't have a data point on that. However, I do have some anecdotal evidence myself. Would you say interest rates are high or low? Mortgage, credit card, auto loans, et cetera.
High.
Okay. So what I'm seeing is more and more people are calling me asking what the options for refinancing are.
Okay.
Now, why do you think that is?
Why? Because they're probably looking to cash out or get some money out. They're not looking to refinance to get a better rate.
Right. But it's because debt has gone up, and right, there's a tremendous amount of people who are carrying a larger portion of debt. And I think it lends people to look and go, oh, my gosh, food must be more expensive. Gas must be more expensive. Things are more expensive because my credit card balances are going up and my debt is going higher. And it's a budgeting issue. And I'm not saying that things haven't gone up. I'm just saying what I'm seeing is more and more people are carrying larger and larger debt balances, and they're trying to get out from under that. Now, whether it's their incomes have gone down or they didn't have overtime and bonuses and stuff coming in, I don't know. Right. Or it's just got comfortable
used to spending.
Yeah. And so I would guess right now one out of three people that calls me is looking to refinance, and whether it's a HELOC, a HELOAN, a cash out refinance, about a third of the people who are coming in.
On something like that, is refinancing a better deal than doing a second?
Well, I'm going to say it depends. Okay. So everybody is different. And so if you listen to anybody right now, myself included, if there was a carte blanche answer that this is always true, you're wrong.
Okay.
You literally have to go through and basically do a weighted average. So let's pretend right now, Russ, your home is worth $400,000. Let's just use that number.
Okay.
And you owe $100,000 on your first, and it's at 3%. And you owe $100,000 worth of credit cards and autos, and let's say the combined balance is 12%.
Okay.
Well, 100 at 12 and 100 at 3, what's the average of that?
Somewhere in the middle.
Seven and a half. Cool. Yeah, yeah. So if you did a cash out refinance and redid the whole thing to a new 30-year fixed and you were better than, say, 7, mm-hmm, then it would be a better deal doing it that way. But if you turn around and said, hey, where are interest rates on HELOCs and seconds? They're in the 9s and 10s.
I'd go that way.
So you would go a second at 9 and 10. However, have you looked at all of the asterisks? When you do a HELOC, the line of credit, if you will, what are the payment terms on those?
I have no idea.
Most people don't. And they ask for it. And if I said, okay, Russ, cool, your payment's super low because your interest only for the next 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, now it becomes fully ammed over 15 years. There's no more chargeability. So in 10 years, you now have a 15-year fixed loan at the interest rate it is for 15 years.
Okay.
Are you going to make, you personally, are you going to make a good dent in that over the next 10 years?
I think the expectations are that you would, if you're going to take that out, that you would want to pay it off in the next 10. But I don't know that that's the norm.
Is that the same thinking that got you into the credit card issue?
No, you got into that issue because you have no control or no.
That's why. And so really the question is, now let's go the other way. Let's say you had a $300,000 first and it was at 3%. And you only needed $50,000 out to cover all the credit cards.
Yeah,
you don't mess the second. Yeah, you don't mess with the first because it's proportionally weighted too much of your debt.
Right.
So no, there is no hard and fast answer. If anybody ever says you always do it this way, you always do it that way. No. Okay. It has to be individual. But it goes back to discipline.
But let me tell you, when I asked the question, I just assumed that whatever you needed to pay off credit cards would be around the $50,000 or less. I didn't assume $100,000.
Well, but but see, you don't look at people and say, "Oh my gosh, that car, based on the credit profile, might be a 15% interest rate on a car."
Oh, I've heard of people paying $1,500 a month on a car payment.
Yeah,
but I've never had anything.
Oh, like I guarantee you, people drive into your shop that have double-digit interest rates on their cars.
Yeah.
And they took a B paper or a C paper loan because of where their credit profile was, and they took a more expensive car, and it's fine. Do what you want.
Right.
But the cars need to be looked at. How about all of the toys, whether it's side-by-sides and boats and trailers and stuff, and the credit cards and the department store cards? I mean, I just did a refinance with a guy. He actually owed more on consumer debt than his house.
Wow.
And let's just say his house he owed about $100,000 on. Consumer debt, cars, boats, side-by-side, credit cards, department store.
Was it a surprise to him?
When you
added it all up and you said, guess how much it is, did he have an idea? Did he know?
It was a surprise when he saw what the new mortgage amount would be. But most of the people don't come in until they have accepted there's an issue. You know, okay. Most people don't want to, hey, Derek, I really need help getting out of this debt, which you should. Like, if I don't feel right, I want to go to a doctor.
Right.
Hey, doc, you know, what's wrong with me? How do I fix this? Most people should come in a little bit earlier because I had Monday. He can't refinance. He's put himself in a position that he's now 90 days late on his house.
Oh.
Okay. You waited and waited and waited, and you let the credit card stuff go. But now that the house is 90 days behind, you have two options.
Yes.
And there's a path for him, but you're talking about selling and resetting. You're talking about, you know, foreclosure on the house, or you're talking about come up with enough money to reset everything. So there's a good path for him. But if he had come in to see me 90 days earlier when just the credit cards had an issue, he'd be fine.
And we're talking about somebody that has a job, has income,
yeah,
is doing well, and just went unconscious when he started spending money.
It's just, look, I've done it too. You've done it. You assume.
I'm unconscious most days.
You are. We assume that things are going to work correctly, and all of a sudden something doesn't. And, well, I think it'll come around.
Wow.
And it was just too many, man, I think it'll come around, and it didn't. And, you know, if you said, Russ, and you're a prime example, so I hope it's okay to talk about this.
Sure.
Would you rather live in a bougie house or be conservative and reset everything for your business?
Oh, reset everything for the business. That's not even a question.
So you did that.
Yeah.
But how many people, the identity is in the cars, or the identity is in, we have to go to the river every weekend.
I know tons of people. I know many people that are like that, that would sacrifice their future for today's comfort.
And that's kind of where this gentleman from Monday was, is he waited too long, and he's proud of the toys, and some of them, look.
Some people, that's their identity.
There's equity in them.
If you took away their toys, they're going to be destroyed emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe hanging around with the wrong friends, because the friends are going to be judgy, like, oh my gosh, Russ, you used to drive that badass Ferrari, and now you know, now you're driving nothing. You got an e-bike.
Well, I have friends that look at my e-bike and said, wow, you've really moved up.
Yeah, but you know, and look, I want to hang around with friends that support you and cheer you on. And when you say back to what you opened with, well, food prices must be up or gas prices must be up.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is the personal budgets have not become important enough to look and go, you know what, maybe I could go to the grocery store and buy this amount of food, but I need not go and get a bougie coffee or a bougie donut. And again, no disrespect to the coffee and donut places.
No.
But if it's a choice, I'd much rather have an extra pound of hamburger meat to make meat at the house than drive down the road with a sugar-filled donut and a sugar-filled coffee.
Well, and since you mentioned meat, and I know I've been getting a lot of questions about meat, I finally looked it up, and there is a shortage of beef. The herds are too small, and stuff out of Mexico is costing, and apparently it isn't an all-time high. I didn't even notice. I don't buy enough meat.
And yet, if let's really talk about what we could be doing. How many people here in Yuma, Arizona know the fair sells animals and 4-H, FFA?
Most people.
Cool. So if there's a meat shortage, how many of us have gone in, hey, Russ, you and I could go buy a steer and we could put it in a freezer and have plenty of meat all year long.
Yep.
You find a good sale, whether it's, you know, I know one of the Albertsons, you go in after, you know, a certain day and the meat, if it's been out there for long enough, then it's buy one, get one and all kinds
of stuff. Before it goes bad, yeah.
Yeah.
You can buy it at a discount. I do that like if I'm shopping for tonight's dinner.
Uh-huh.
If I see a something out there that they just marked down because it's going to be only, you know, they're going to have to do something the next day or two, I'll pick that up.
And there's, I feel like there's always going to be the next data point to look at. Do you remember when eggs were dang near a dollar an egg?
Yes.
Okay.
They've turned around.
We're not there anymore.
Nope.
Okay. Why is that?
Supply and demand, and I think it was helped by some federal regulations of bringing some additional products in out offshore, but we finally got it caught up. I don't know if they made a permanent solution to the bird flu, which was causing them to destroy their birds.
Old flocks.
Flocks. I don't know what they've done.
I don't know. But what I know is from my vantage point, if you know you need help, come see me a little bit sooner or talk to somebody that you trust a little bit sooner. Because when you get to 3 months behind on the mortgage, things get really difficult to fix.
Yeah.
If you're looking at budgeting, here's the interesting thing. Take 3 months worth of bank statements and look at where your spending really is. And, you know, Russ, do you ever do that?
No, but I know. I mean, my life is not complex anymore. I don't have, I don't have kids. I don't have any payments for anything, toys or rental incomes or I don't. I mean, everything is just down to nothing for me, and it's pretty simple.
And yet, you had an app. You used to use Mint, or
I still do.
Okay,
well, it's not, whatever the replacement is. It's not Mint.
Whatever that replacement is. Yeah. But if you link your bank statements to it,
it's
now you get the data that says I spent this much here.
Sure.
And we have the access to things like that. Where let's talk about something that's going to happen in the mortgage industry right now. How do I prove your income, Russ?
Oh, you could check IRS forms. You could check bank statements, credit card statements.
Well,
you can check W-2s.
Hold on. Let's talk about what the agencies require, meaning Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, USDA.
Stubs.
I need to see either pay stubs and W-2s for an employee. I need to see 2 years tax returns for a self-employed individual, or let's look at 1099s for retirement income and Social Security stuff. You said bank statements.
Yeah.
No. Bank statements don't prove that you have a consistent income. We may need to prove that a deposit was earned or assets. But where the industry is going to go is you're correct. If you look at 12 months worth of bank statements, does that give you a better indicator of what people are depositing?
Of course.
And does that also give you a better indicator of what they're spending as opposed to just what reports on the credit report?
Of course, with some exceptions. I know a lot of people, they cash their checks and work off of money in their cash.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cash people out there that still amazes me, but I'm not a cash guy.
But
I have it.
But the cash is going to be even harder to prove. But that's what I'm saying is from a bank statement perspective, what the industry is going to go to over the next probably 2 to 3 years, and one of the agencies is already testing this as a subtest, if you will, is give me 12 months worth of bank statements and look at all deposits and all spending and assume a mortgage payment. So let's pretend you were renting for $1,000 and you want to buy a $2,000 a month house.
Yeah.
Okay. 12 months worth of bank statements. Take out the $1,000 rent, put in the $2,000 mortgage payment. As long as there's a dollar left at the end of the month, you would be approved. Why? Because you're earning more than what your lifestyle is spending.
But let me explain to you. I don't have a dollar left, but that's because I spent money that I'm not going to spend anymore because now I have a mortgage.
Nope. It's not how that'll work.
What?
Nope.
You're not flexible.
That's not how that will work. It literally is phrased as a dollar more than what the spending capacity is. And
but I was only spending it because I could. Now,
cool. Yeah. Don't spend it for the next 12 months.
I want my house today.
That bank statement thing, though, is going to be a huge, huge
really? That
deal.
Much?
Well, because so, what you just talked about is this cash thing. There's a lot of people who, like you say, it's cash, or they leave it in, take it out, leave it in, take it
if
out.
If it was going into savings or retirement funds and everything, would that be different?
Well, when you say savings, that's still a personal account you can use. Now,
okay.
retirement is not funds that is easily usable from a daily spending perspective. So,
correct.
No, a 401k, an IRA is not going to be something that you
but
can
But here's
use.
What I would explain to you as your customer now. I'm putting $2,000 a month into my retirement. I'm going to knock it down $1,000.
So, Russ, what you're telling me is you're going to forego your future to afford something bigger now.
I was accelerating it knowing I was going to get a higher number before I bought a house.
Yeah, no. Nope.
But you don't buy any of my stories?
No, not one.
Man, you've been doing this too long.
Yeah. I mean, it. So, but think of what we're talking about is that 12-month bank statement review, if you will, would also, if everybody did it personally, that would stop some of these credit card issues. That would stop some of the...
But if it was just going into savings, though, if I was taking $2,000 a month, put it in my savings account, that would be another financial account that would be okay.
100%.
Okay.
Now, think of going down this road a little bit more. If you look at a bank statement, now you get to analyze all debt and spending. So let's pretend you and I. What's the craziest thing you and Helen do monthly? You go out to eat 3-4 times?
We will. She likes Mexican restaurants.
Okay, so if I looked at your restaurant spending, it may be higher than mine. Now, let's pretend our income is the same.
Okay.
You might actually spend 10 or 15% more of your income on eating out than I do eating at the house.
Okay.
So even though our incomes are the same, and let's pretend we drove the exact same car and we're going to go buy the exact same house. Right now, from a lending perspective, you and I are treated exactly the same as long as our credit scores are the same because our incomes are the same, our debts are the same, and our house is the same.
Uh-huh.
But all of a sudden, if you do a 12-month look back of income, and let's say you and Helen spend an extra grand a month eating out and I don't, you are worse financially than I am in terms of that qualification.
In a big way, probably.
Or let's say out of everything else is the same, but you're riding your e-bike and I'm driving a $1,000 a month car payment with, you know, oil and gas and stuff. That should also take into account the cost for gas and oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right now, do we look at people's spending? Like, I don't care if you get 3 miles to the gallon or 300 miles to the gallon, but if you're spending more money on fuel, that should take into account something. Or your electric bill. Maybe you like your house at 85 and you don't spend any money on electricity, and that's why the radio studio smells like this, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, you know, there's a lot of things to look at. But that's what I'm saying is what you opened with is meat prices, yeah, they're up. But does the same person who's talking about meat prices also look at what they're spending on coffee or movies or eating out or, hey, we just want to go shopping, retail therapy?
That's a fact. Some people say that.
And that's really where, again, there's zero judgment. I promise you I've done it multiple times. We just have to look at the personal budget and say, you know what? It's okay to look back and go, wow, I spent a lot of money eating out this month. Let's dial that back a little bit and let's pay down the credit card. Or let's ask some better questions of, should I, what you asked, should I do a cash out refinance? Should I do a HELOC? Should I do a HELOAN? What do I do?
It's all different.
You got to sit down with somebody, and hopefully it's myself and Bill and the team over at Mortgage One, but talk to somebody that you trust and say, hey, I'm in trouble. How do I fix this?
Hey,
go ahead.
I have a fact checker here that wants to correct you.
Please do.
Sheriff Leon Wilmont said they're not donuts. Don't mess with power rings. So you know.
I just
want to let you know that.
You know what? Just if he's going to get snarky like that, I'm not dropping off chocolate chip cookies.
You go ahead and call him snarky, buddy. I just go with the yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But you've seen the truck he drives for the tower lighting. He can't catch anybody in that truck.
Not with that one.
No.
But he's got a radio.
Oh, that is. So you can't outrun Motorola? Is that how that works?
Nope.
But again, if. Look, I don't care. Go get a dozen donuts each and every day. if it's in the budget and it's not putting you in harm's way. What I have a hard time is when people go $20,000 in credit card debt, but you see what was charged on the credit cards, and it's eating out 7 days a week. There are ways to fix that.
I know people that do that. I don't.
Now,
and if that's your style and that's what you want to do,
if it's budgeted and you're cooking at home almost none and you don't have $2,000 worth of food.
I'm a newlywed and Helen and I still like each other, so.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, so we can eat, we can fix food at home.
Yeah, but do you cook?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Does she cook?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say, and I don't know if she's listening.
Who's the better cook?
Oh, she is definitely.
Okay. But well played, Russ. Well played.
I think I probably cook more. I don't mind it. I don't.
Okay. Paper plates or regular dishes?
Regular dishes.
So wash the dishes.
I do that.
Didn't cost money in paper plates.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Simple choices. I literally know people who they don't use regular dishes. They want to use paper plates so they don't have to wash anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still spending money on paper plates and paper utensils and plastic utensils.
Yeah.
If you're telling me that your credit card balances are going up, and literally this is a conversation I had with a former team member of ours. If your credit card balances are going up, why are you buying paper plates and plastic forks and knives? You have dishes at home and a little bit of Dawn soap. You're good. You don't need to spend that. And remember when paper products were going through the roof?
Oh, I do.
That doesn't seem to be a cost-effective move. So again, you look at where the market's going. Do you think interest rates are going up or down, Russ?
I don't believe there's going to be a lot of changes right now, at all. So I would hold tight with where you are. I would think if it does move, it's not going to move much.
So
up or down?
Is the stock market going up?
Up,
which means mortgage and all other interest rates have to go up to keep up. That's the short answer of why. Now, do you believe Powell is going to push a interest rate cut?
Not the way he hates Trump.
So I think there's a fight that way.
Not until next year.
There could be, and again, there's starting to be cracks that say there could be a small cut this year. But remember when Trump was proposing, hey, drop it 3 points and that'll help us pay off all the debt.
He was serious, and he's comparing our interest rates to what they're doing in other countries. Mm-hmm. We are outpacing them, and Powell has put it on the tariffs, is part of his argument, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So if that's the case and interest rates are not coming down, then let's not hope that I'm going to wait for 3 to 6 more months that interest rates are going to come down. If you do have debt, let's really talk about, is it a line of credit, a HELOC? Is it a second mortgage loan, a fixed payment with a fixed period of time? Or is it a whole new cash out refinance? But please don't wait until things are 30, 60, 90 days behind. When it starts feeling tight, that's when you need to go to the doctor and say, hey, this doesn't feel right. Or you, what's your waist size, Russ?
34 is my...
Okay, so if you're in a 34 and your 34 starts to feel a little tight and you got the muffin top hanging over and it's just...
We got a little bit of that.
Okay, is that the time to start working on it, or do you wait until you have to go buy 36s because you just can't button your 34s?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, we're not going to go back. I still have the 36s and 38s at the house if I needed one for Halloween, but that is not a go-to solution.
But how many times do people do that? And I've done it too. Again, zero negativity. I've done it. I'll tell you where I started my weight loss, and this is crazy, but you just said 34s, 36s, and 38s. Were your 38s ever tight?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd that feel?
Like I needed 40s?
Yeah. So, again, I always have way too many keys in my pockets, and I wear the pockets out fairly quickly, and was in, way back in the day, 32s and 34s and 36s, 38s, went to Dillard's because, my pants, the pockets ripped. Went in, tried a pair of pants on. They were too tight. I went and grabbed the next size. And as I'm in the dressing room, it was a 40.
Yeah.
And I said a few foul words that can't be said on air because the FCC will come after you and I. And I said, you know what? I'd rather show up to work naked than wear a 40-inch waist.
That's going to be an interesting week.
And walked out and said, I got to do something different. But not unlike you, it was that slow progression that didn't feel bad. It just turned into something that dang near didn't fit into a 38 anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the same with budget. You got to pay attention to the balances now before it's out of control and just know that, hey, we got to make little tweaks. Let's get this one down. Or let me ask a professional, which one do I pay off first? Mm-hmm. How do I massage this a little bit? And if you said, man, I'm overfunding my 401k, but I'm spending 29% interest carrying my credit card debt.
And that kind of advice can be surprise you. It's probably free. You know, you don't have to
hire.
Well,
it should be.
Yeah. You don't have to hire somebody to be a concierge to watch every move. You just have a couple questions, ask a couple on simple stuff, and say, you know, I'm remodeling a lot of the house right now. I'm on the phone all the time with professionals just asking little questions at times or doing YouTube or something that have areas that I trust. But so many people, and that's little things.
And
the important things on a finance, you should be asking.
You should. And it's okay to ask questions. And, and what I also have realized, and that's why I say over and over, it's okay. We coffee in the office, cookies in the office, come and have a conversation because it needs to be personal. It's okay to ask questions. Yeah. And so many people are either scared to ask or proud that they don't want to make it seem like they don't know. Or they're so full of Uncle Earl and, you know, Aunt Vicky told me these things, so they must be true. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, unless it's on the internet, it's not true.
Yeah, right. So we're going to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
And he looks at her and says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop with love.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark, talking money and mortgage and credit and budgeting.
And anything we want.
And, okay, so how many names has that guy used? There was John Cougar Mellencamp, John Mellencamp, then it was just Mellencamp.
Yeah,
so
I don't know, it's been a lot.
That was under John Cougar Mellencamp.
That's an old one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're still never going to get me on those. You know that, right?
Oh, I could.
So
if I wanted.
Where interest rates, in your opinion, where interest rates today? You're wrong.
A little over six.
Okay. And I was sarcastic saying you're wrong because there is no an interest rate of the day. There's a range.
Right.
Right. And the range always denotes...
Probably wrong anyway.
Probably. But, you know, it factors in credit score and property type and occupancy type and down payment amount. There's a ton of things. So if you go right on, Freddie Mac puts out their PMMS study, and that basically shows what the average interest rate being booked to them is. Now, it doesn't tell you, it doesn't aggregate credit scores and discount points. It just tells you the average interest rate that they're putting on the books. Mm-hmm. And they're telling us it's 6.63 as of right now.
Yep, that's what I'm looking at. It's
okay.
Down from 6.72.
Cool. So 6.63 in what you're looking at, does it tell you the credit score?
Nope.
How about?
It just averages.
Right. How about the down payment amount?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So if I go on and I want to search for all kinds of advertising, marketing, if I go in and look at a good rate, here's a bank that is offering online 5.82 APR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Minimum 800 FICO. Minimum
800?
Minimum 800 FICO.
Wow,
for this.
Seen that.
25% down on a conventional loan, and they're going to require 2.331 discount points.
Well, yeah, they can get it down.
Sure. Okay. So, and that's where what I hope everybody looks at is it's like a scale. The lower the interest rate, the higher the cost. The higher the interest rate, the lower the cost, and it goes back and forth. But there's a lot of other factors. And I had an agent, a real estate agent that I trust, and he just called me for some questions. He wants to list a person's home, and the home was bought in 2023. They got a VA loan, and now they did a refinance in 2024, and he's wondering why the balance of the mortgage is about $11,000 higher than what it was the year prior.
Okay.
And my first question to this gentleman is, did they tell you what their interest rate was? He goes, oh, they were very proud. They got 4.99% interest.
Oh, good Lord.
Cool.
That's great.
Was the market 4.99%, Russ Clark, in 2024?
No.
Then how did that consumer, and I'm going to say it correctly, get sold an interest rate of 4.99?
Because they gave the best possible scenario based on the credit scores, your condition, and how many points you're willing to pay.
So here's what pisses me off about this industry is there's a difference between no cost and no cash out of pocket. Okay. They heard the words no cash out of pocket because does VA allow us to refinance with, is an IRL, an interest rate reduction loan, if you're a veteran and active duty, have a VA. If the market is better, we can always refinance you. We don't even need a new appraisal. That's the rule and the guidelines. Your home could be $100,000 underwater, but the VA says if we're putting you into a better payment situation, totally okay, get it done. Well, that lender, and there are always some closing costs, you know, some small lender fees, some title, some escrow, some taxes, but that lender charged an additional 3.5 discount points to buy that rate down. Cool. Was that disclosed to the consumer up front?
Nope.
Yes. It has to be. Has to be in writing.
I'm sorry. Not disclosed in the marketing.
Not in the marketing. They got hooked by the marketing, and then they would have seen that. They would have seen the new balance, but they were very happy that the payment went down even though the balance went up. Now that they have been PCS ordered somewhere else in the country and they need to sell the home, now they're questioning why their balance is $11,000 higher on a home. Now, Russ, play with this a little bit. If you bought the home in 2023, VA allows how much financing?
I don't know.
100% financing.
Oh, it is 100. Okay.
So no money down plus the VA funding fee. So you started by borrowing a little bit more than you paid for the home. Now you've refinanced the home and added $11,000 more in a year and a half. What's the likelihood that they are going to be able to sell the home, pay the real estate agent commissions, pay possibly the buyer's closing costs because that's being negotiated, plus taxes, plus insurance, plus anything else, repairs and maintenance? What's the likelihood they have 10% equity in the home right now?
From 23? Would it be zero? Because we had a lot of price increases in housing. Housing went up crazy in a couple years there, but I don't know.
It went up very crazy prior to 23.
Was it prior?
Okay, and when they did the refinance in 24, we had very much slowed down with the appreciation. But they don't even have enough money to get out of the home. And now they question why the mortgage went up by that much. And unfortunately, it's an out-of-town, no-name lender that sold them an interest rate online and probably never actually sat down with anybody. And that happens not once. That happens all the time because what does our industry really market? An interest rate.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess that's the only thing they talk about.
That's
including you.
And I don't talk about interest rates. I talk about ranges and why that's not the thing to look at. It's what's the most important thing. You know, again, you go back to these interest rates that we were just talking about. 25% down with nearly 2.5 discount points.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
I mean, it makes no sense because nowhere in there does anybody go, hey, by the way, do you have a car? Do you have a credit card? Do you have other things that we need to pay off? You know, maybe 1 out of 100 people, that's a good scenario for. And there is one person that's going to be the right scenario. But what if you did, hypothetically, an FHA loan with 3.5% down and used the other 20% that you were going to drop into the house and paid off all of your credit card debt, paid all of your department store cards, maybe even paid off the car and had no debt other than one house?
Well, it's a big difference.
Huge. That's the kind of conversation we should have. But again, back to, I feel horrible that these veterans, you're in trouble because you really do owe at or above what the house is worth.
So when you tell them things like easy solutions here, it's going to be a little work, but easy solutions, you're going to have to sell your car and get a used car that you can pay cash for. Do they look at you like you've lost your mind?
Sometimes.
Like, I cannot give up my identity. That car is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I know people like that over motorcycles. That no matter what, I'm not. I'm not giving up my Harley, no matter what.
And you look at the house, I understand why they did the refinance, but I just wish that if people are going to sell, I mean, let's be brutally honest, 4.99% on an interest rate, doesn't that sound like, man, you were just eking to get it below 5% somehow, right?
Sounds good.
Sounds really good, but how do you get a 4.99? Because now, yes, the agencies do them, but you and I know the interest rates move in eights. They move in 0.125s. That's,
oh, I guess so.
So if the interest rate was 5.125, 5.25, which is 5.25, 5.375, how do you get 4.99? You make a slight adjustment internally, and you're going to buy up, buy down the coupon somehow on the secondary market. But it was a marketing ploy to somehow blitz VA buyers and refinancers.
And it works, apparently.
And it works. And it's no different than we talked about it years ago. How many veterans took the one-year adjustable ARMs because the interest rates looked better?
Too many.
Too many. Yep. And when interest rates went up, how do you get out of an adjustable rate mortgage?
Sell your house and move in with mom.
And Russ Clark has a couple of rooms free. So come on over. So again, these, you know, not trying to beat a dead horse. We can talk to people and help them. So if you hear people that it sounds like the deal might be too good, man, call, ask a question. Let's just make sure that you're not going into something with your eyes closed. Let's make sure that, like, this family, if you can get a 4.99 and you think you're there for the next 30 years, love it. Go ahead and add a little bit more to the mortgage because you're going to pay it down with principal faster, less interest. I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're active duty, how do you get out of a home when you're active duty? You got to sell it.
Yeah.
And if you did a VA purchase and you know you're going to move within the next 3 years, refinancing 100% financed home and adding money to it can't be a good idea. It just can't. Now, let's pretend they could have done a no-cost loan and only dropped their interest rate from, let's pretend it was at 6.75 to 6, because there was a dip there. If you could have done a 6% refinance with literally no cost and your balance was about the same, wouldn't that have been a better option?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about, just making sure that from a person-by-person perspective, it makes sense. Because you asked about that in the first section, the first segment. What's the right thing? It's different with everybody. Now, let's say you are a retired veteran and you're staying here in Yuma, Arizona forever.
Beautiful.
Then that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
But if you're active duty and you know you're going to get PCS'd somewhere.
You mean it could make complete sense. You still have to look at it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But getting that set up could make complete sense if you sat down and did the whole financial picture.
But getting down to a 4.99 versus a 6 is not going to make that much difference, especially if you're selling in 3 years. You're going to lose.
In 3 years, it doesn't make that much sense. And let's say, you know, a 1% interest rate savings, interest on a $300,000 home, that's $3,000 for the year. Divide that by 12, that's $250 for the month. You can't change the payment by more than $250 a month. And my guess is, Russ, you said you guys go out to Mexican food a lot. How much do you spend a month?
Occasionally. I would say a couple $100. I mean, we don't do it very often.
But that means you could save the exact same amount of money just skinning up how you eat.
Yeah.
And not adding $11,000 to your mortgage.
Correct.
Now, here's my brain with numbers. If you're going to save $250 a month, but you're going to add, let's say, 10 grand to the mortgage, how many months or how many years does it take you to get that back?
Well,
250 times 12 is 3,000 a year. Three times three is nine. That's $9,000 in 3 years, and I know there's a little bit more. So yes, there's a mathematical issue there.
Three and a half.
But let's say 3 1/3 years, and if you're active duty, and the likelihood is you're getting PCS'd out in under 3 years or within 3 years.
The best case scenario, you
break even.
The best case.
You literally can't have gotten ahead. But those jackwagon mortgage people that are an out-of-town online company sold you a bag of goods that you were never going to get ahead with.
Correct.
Now, somebody send Sheriff Wilmot some power rings and have him chase down those jackwagons and let's get the bad apples out of the industry.
They're not doing anything illegal.
Correct. And isn't that interesting that they sold a veteran, active-duty military man, a bag of goods that he could never actually get ahead with.
Yep.
That pisses me off because we do have some rules for the auto industry. Remember how the used car market, there's rules that they have to comply with if you're selling a car and financing it for an active duty military man or woman, right?
Right.
Okay. Why would that mortgage lender be able to sell an active duty man or woman a mortgage that couldn't be beneficial if they were going to leave? It's interesting. There's no way to fix that. There really isn't.
You got
to
give choices to, you got to stand on your own.
Here, steak or chicken. There's your choice. Steak or chicken.
Vegetable.
Vegetables. I don't see you as a vegetable kind of guy.
I was a vegetarian for 7 8 years.
And how many people go back to why beef prices are where they're going? How many people go, man, I don't like this vegetarian thing. I want to go back to an all meat. And you seem to be healthier now that you're eating way more meat.
Well, that has to do with just a lot of things. But I'm eating meat because of my trainer and stuff. I had to up my protein.
Because he's going to beat you up if you don't eat meat?
I had to up my protein.
Okay.
And that and you can do it with vegetables, but I wouldn't be doing anything but eating all day.
No ice cream?
That's not good.
Okay. Are you itching for one more break?
I do have to do it.
All right. This is Money Talk AM560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Russ is really never sure what buttons he's hitting over here. Let's play the same commercial twice, whatever. But, okay, you said something that was going to be the last segment. So the big industry news is Vantage Credit Score is going to be talked about, and the agencies, meaning Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, USDA, are going to start trying to incorporate Vantage Credit Scores additionally, like FICO. Now, does FICO take your rent into account?
No.
Does it take paying your auto insurance into account?
I don't think so.
It doesn't. So Vantage is going to create this whole new thing that they're going to say, hey, look how many more people it's going to score and give some ability. Well, okay, but you're also going to see the rules adjust because now if this many more people can get in, but the payment histories on other things are detrimental, we don't know how those are going to shake out. So there's going to be some huge moves in the market. Vantage is going to threaten FICO's position as the king of all kings and the gatekeeper for anybody who wants credit score or credit. But we haven't seen how the agencies are going to adopt that yet. Now, you ran into an issue. Your credit score dropped, Russ.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I let some credit cards close that I wasn't using, like a Best Buy and Discover.
So here's the couple of things. Number one, we've always talked about the universal default clause that says if you miss a payment on your Visa, they can tell MasterCard and Discover Card that you're a bad human and they need to change your payment terms because you've missed a payment somewhere else. They're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So now here's what's going to happen is we've seen it over and over. When people don't use their credit, the credit companies can drop the credit lines and reduce your balance, your limits. But they can also close your accounts if it's zeros, because if you're not making them any money, why do they need to keep you as a consumer?
Yeah.
Now, the longevity, the history of your accounts makes up to 15% of your credit score. So now you said you had two cards that are no longer active. They're closed.
Right.
So that history, poof, like a magician, immediately gone.
Creeps,
now,
yeah.
Here's the other thing. We look at globally the amount that you have charged and globally, your total credit lines. What just happened? Did the amount you have charged change?
No.
Nope. But did globally your credit lines drop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so it's not only the history dropped, but now it looks like percentage-wise, you owe more percentage-wise, even though you didn't change anything. They
did. Yeah, because available credit is less.
Now, you dropped, but you're still in a fair area. You're not in a danger area, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not in contention. It's fair. My average is 6 years, 10 months. So it'll go to good in 2 more months.
But what happens if it's not you, but it's somebody who knows they need credit in the next 6 months and they stopped using everything like you did? So they were trying to be conservative. And then the credit bureaus or the credit companies did that to them. And now the credit score drops because it looks like they're 100% leveraged on the one or two cards they left everything on.
Yeah.
They could drop out of being approved because they were doing the right thing as opposed to overspending and doing the wrong thing. Russ, when do your credit lines get raised? There's only two times your credit card companies ever raise your limits.
I don't know that.
A, when you ask. And B, when you're charging a lot and paying it off and you're not carrying a balance and they think you're a good risk, they'll artificially keep raising your credit limits to encourage you to charge enough to carry a balance.
I've had them ask me if I wanted to raise it.
Yeah, because they want you to carry a balance so you pay them interest.
Right.
How many cards are you carrying a balance on that you're paying interest?
None.
So why would I keep any cards with you if you're not making me any money is the mindset of the credit card company.
They haven't – the cards I use, and I use a couple of them, they don't – They've never shown me any concern as far as writing me a note that I need to do anything different.
No, because if you're charging and using and charging and using and paying it back, they know they're one or two raises of limits away from you carrying more, mm-hmm. or you're one or two bad months of income away from carrying a balance.
Okay.
And they'll make some money. But if you're not paying anything to them and you carry no balance, no nothing, why would they keep the account open? Why would they?
Well, there's still fees every time I use it, and I'm a heavy user. I just pay it every month. I don't pay interest.
How are there fees when you use it?
I mean, the retailers that I buy from are charged a fee, a processing fee. I would assume they get some of that.
Some, and some it comes right out of the restaurant you go to. I mean, when you talk to the restaurant guys, is the bill at the restaurant the same whether you pay cash or use your credit card?
Same.
Okay. So, no, you, Russ Clark, did not pay that 3% or 2.5%
transaction. No, but you're collecting it from somebody.
Okay. Yeah. So the restaurant ate that 2.5%.
Correct.
And you paid the bill off in full, so you made the restaurant pay something, and you still paid no interest to the vendor.
Right.
And half the times, it's not necessarily the credit card company. It's the merchant transaction. It's the processing of that before it gets to MasterCard, Visa, Discover Card.
Okay.
So a lot of things that are going to happen credit-wise, and just like you had, you didn't use a few cards, and they closed them on you.
Well, and they sent me notices. I remember getting them, and I
And you just put it in the shredder, put your head in the sand like an ostrich.
I still have the cards. I don't know, but I need to
shred. Well, it doesn't do you any good if you have the card and the account's closed.
No, the account's closed.
That's like saying I must have money in my checking account because I have checks in the checkbook.
But I just
You're one of those guys, aren't you?
I couldn't tell you what my credit limit was. I had no idea. So I just, it's $13,005 on one. I had no idea it was that high. None. Because I never keep a balance.
That's too bad.
No. Why would you want to keep a balance?
I'm just saying your credit account's closed and your credit score went down.
This one's still open. Okay. But having a high balance, I mean, that's good because that gives me leeway if I wanted to do, if I needed to put some on there, I won't go past that 30, 40%, whatever that is.
Which is perfect. And again, the reason I say that is you always heard people, you know, your family members say, hey, pay off all your credit cards and close them. No. The closing them is what really hampers your and causes your credit score to go down.
Yeah, they want your age to be high. I mean, to get an excellent mark, you need to have 9 years plus on your credit card, your credit cards, how long you've had them in use.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of them at 11 years, 5 months, and one at 7 years, 5 months.
And the other's closed on you now.
How
long ago?
About a year.
Oh, okay. You know, let's say something closed on you last month. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can call the credit card companies and go, hey, I don't know why you closed this on me. I still want to use the account. Reopen this before you purge the data. And they can. But if you've waited a year like you and you just didn't pay attention, no, you're not going to get that one reopened. They would gladly give you a new card, but it's going to be a brand new account aging today. And now you've got to start that 9 year clock all over again. So just pay attention to when your credit card companies are doing things and just know, you know, if you're not using it, sometimes they drop your credit limit. They probably dropped your credit limit a couple of times and you just never noticed it.
I don't think they have. I mean, I'm surprised it's as high as it was.
I bet they slowly dropped it and nothing happened and they just didn't get a response from you. You just didn't pay them, Russ. I can't believe I
didn't care.
You didn't pay interest to your credit card companies.
I don't care.
So summertime, you know, not a whole lot going on, but I do have a personal ask for everybody. Doing some push with some of the Caballero visibility and trying to get some national attention. What two big events do we have coming up this year?
Midnight Oasis and the Balloon
Festival.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of videos, and you've seen them on the Facebook page, the Instagram page. They're on the caballeros.org website. Go on to YouTube. Find those videos of the Balloon Festival and Midnight at the Oasis. Like them, share them, comment. In the last 2 weeks, there's been 10,000 views of the Midnight at the Oasis two videos. Yes. So we're starting to get some traction. Everybody in Yuma, we need these things to go nationwide to attract some other national vendors and artists in. So please go on caballeros.org, go on YouTube and search for Caballeros de Yuma. Find the Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival. Find the Midnight at the Oasis videos. Like them, share them, comment. Really help bring Yuma into the national spotlight. Other than that, have a phenomenal, safe weekend. If you are active duty, have been active duty, a family member have served, thank you for letting Russ and I just sit on air and jaw jack with freedom. And we live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. Have a safe weekend, everyone. Bye for now.
Program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants
this
are affiliated,
is News Talk 560 KBLU,
and it should not be relied upon as such.